Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 158, Coworking. Let the ideas collide. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated customer service manager, Brandon Manthe.
Co-working, let the ideas collide. What happens when you bring a lot of bright people working on a variety of totally unrelated projects together in one space? Wait before you answer, there's more. Throw in a game room, movie nights, and some other social events, anything you can think of to encourage people to mix and mingle. And what you get is an explosion of innovation and creativity, if co-workers are to be believed. Co-working spaces bring together people, self-employed and otherwise, in an office environment where they share not only equipment, but also, and more importantly, ideas and knowledge. The Co-working Manifesto believes that this new working model will lead to an economy built on community and collaboration rather than on the silos of the past. And the idea is catching on. The co-working movement grew by over 400% in the last 2 years globally. And millennials, those born between the early 80s and early 2000s, are really taking to it. This is important to note because millennials make up both our current and future customers and employees. They will account for around half of the U.S. workforce by 2020. So understanding how they think and feel about things can only help our businesses. The Seattle Times' Tom Tan sums millennials up nicely. Any business looking to stay on the cutting edge should embrace the evolving work habits of these 20 and 30-something entrepreneurs. They're not unfocused dreamers. They hustle. If that's not enough of a reason to be interested in co-working, how about this? By 2020, around 40% of the U.S. workforce is expected to work freelance. The times they are a-changin', and working with people and teams based in co-working spaces may very well be a major part of that change for many companies. This podcast will discuss the pros, cons, and trends of co-working. It'll provide insight into both its facility sharing and community building aspects, as well as ensure those considering co-working have the resources on hand to make educated decisions about whether or not they are a good fit. Let's start at the very beginning by defining co-working. Co-working is all about sharing space like kitchens and workspaces, along with equipment, especially fast Wi-Fi. But it also involves sharing a mindset and desire to mix with like-minded people. These like-minded folks are not colleagues in the conventional sense. Many don't work for the same organization. But all the same, they are interested in supporting one another, exchanging ideas, and maybe even providing a shoulder to cry on those bad days. And it's heart. It's all about community. And this community typically attracts people who work from home, creative types, independent contractors, startups, and those who travel frequently and want to work alongside others. Before co-working spaces emerged, these were the people you may have noticed beavering away in libraries and noisy coffee shops. Or maybe they were people you didn't see as they were isolated in home bedrooms and private offices. Phoenix, Arizona Mayor Greg Stanton summed up why these people have made the move to co-working. At the opening of a space in his city, the mayor said, "The whole idea of co-working is to bring bright, creative people together and let the ideas collide." So what will you find in co-working spaces? Likely a lot of what you might expect in a business space. For instance, fast wireless internet, long opening hours, actually more than half of the spaces are open 24/7, printers and photocopiers, although a small number of spaces are paperless, a meeting room for private talks along with coffee, tea, and drinks, co-working visa, which describes the growing number of co-working spaces allowing members of other spaces to use their facilities for free through a visa program, and shared bathrooms and lounges. It is on the social side, however, that co-working spaces really come into their own. There are happy hours, networking mixers, fundraisers, and all kinds of other events with a very simple aim, bringing people together. Workintile in Ann Arbor, Michigan, for example, treats its members to movie screenings, social lunches, and chair massages. Ensemble in Midtown Manhattan, New York, meanwhile, throws Socialedia, a daily break with homemade treats for members who are encouraged to network. Other co-working spaces provide game rooms to encourage people to get to know one another over, say, over a game of Call of Duty. Behind all of this social activity is a desire to do business in an open, transparent environment. The Co-working Manifesto says, "We are a group of connected individuals and small businesses creating an economy of innovation and creativity in our communities and worldwide. We envision a new economic engine composed of collaboration and community, in contrast to the silos and secrecy of the 19th and 20th century economies." Intriguing, right? A creative environment with other professionals, freed from conventional office environments, and the option of working with as much flexibility as you like. So where did the idea of co-working come from? The term co-working was coined in 1999 by Bernard de Koven when describing a phenomenon he called working together as equals. He was referring to insights he garnered while designing games and facilitating play and how they could apply to work. It really wasn't until 2005, however, when the co-working movement began, that someone ran with de Koven's idea and took it further. Launched in San Francisco by Brad Newberg and Chris Messina, this movement also used technology to support collaborative work. But it didn't stop there. It used working together as equals as the core of a novel approach to work, encouraging people to work together as equals, but separately. Everyone could work on their own projects and business interests, but they could also help one another without worrying about competitive pressures. And, according to de Koven, the result was productivity, community, and surprisingly often, deeply shared fun. Newberg launched the movement while working at a startup in a rented office space because he couldn't figure out how to have freedom and community at the same time. He felt renting office space was non-social, and he wanted to work somewhere that encouraged cross-fertilization and communication. Co-working, he says, has that extra spark of community. He started testing his ideas at a women's community center, Spiral Muse, in San Francisco's Mission District, during business hours several days a week. Those who started working with him took his ideas and set up their own facilities. The co-working universe has been expanding ever since. In 2008, the New York Times finally noticed its meteoric expansion, writing, "The Hat Factory in San Francisco is a live work loft that's home to three technology workers who open up during the day to other people. Some companies like Citizen Agency, a San Francisco internet consulting firm that has done the most to evangelize co-working, has an open-door policy in which people rent desks, but others are free to drop in and use the Wi-Fi or a conference room." It continued, "Some companies rent out desks to nomadic workers, hoping some of their internet mojo will rub off. Yet others have started co-working spaces as businesses unto themselves, like a community version of the corporate business centers operated by the Regis Group." And the expansion continued. A 2013 study suggested that there were 110,000 people globally working in nearly 2,500 co-working spaces, 781 of which were in the U.S. at that time. The study found that 4.5 new co-working spaces were being opened daily, and 245 people were joining spaces every working day. This is a movement that is exploding around the world. Let's discuss types of co-working space options next. All startups need space, capital, talent, mentorship, and influence. And there are many options out there that are planets apart. Co-working sites tend to attract early-stage businesses, entrepreneurs, creatives, and other professionals who enjoy collaborating and expanding opportunities through networking and peer-to-peer mentorship. Incubators, however, take a different approach. They focus on giving a helpful push to high-growth, venture-backed startups. They are rated by how well the companies in their centers develop, and many of them are subsidized by government agencies and investment companies interested in economic development. Companies in these spaces are more likely to work around one another than together. Accelerator spaces are kind of like incubator spaces on caffeine. Companies that go into these spaces are usually put onto a deadline-driven program, usually 3 to 4 months, that improves their odds of startup success. Many of the centers will also invest in the companies in their programs. Office rental facilities are pretty much the plain vanilla option. They break up a space into small offices, add some services such as internet access and reception areas, and sublease the space. This model appeals to businesses looking for the privacy and services of an office, but don't want to lease a space of their own. What about the workers? It probably won't shock anyone. The average U.S. coworker is young, male, well-educated, works in tech, lives close to the co-working facility, and loves co-working. More women are coming on board, though. The percentage of women co-workers climbed from 32% in 2010 to 38% in 2012. And as already mentioned, the millennials are dominating the space. 41% are under the age of 30. 37% are between 30 and 40 years of age. 14% are between 40 and 50 years of age. And 8% are over the age of 50. And while they may be young, these co-workers are smart. 75% have completed at least a bachelor's degree, compared to 27% of the general U.S. population and 50% of U.S. small business owners. Most co-workers don't really like to commute either. More than 30% either walk or bike to work, and less than half, 44%, drive. So what are they doing in these co-working spaces? For now, the answer is easy. Tech, broadly defined, but tech nonetheless. 44% are web developers or designers. 13% work in public relations and marketing. And 43% are from a mix of professions, including artists, entrepreneurs, journalists, and consultants. And it probably won't surprise you that freelancers make up 53% of coworkers. Okay, let's come back down to earth and take a look at the advantages and disadvantages of coworking. Coworking may not be all it's cracked up to be. Keep the following considerations in mind when evaluating whether or not it could work for you. Number one, would you soar in a coworking space? Personality is one of the main things to take into account when considering coworking. This can be a great, affordable way of working for people who are driven, flexible, and sociable. If you're an introvert who values privacy and quiet, however, this may not be a good place for you. Number two, can you focus? Co-working spaces can also prove to be a huge distraction unless you are good at managing your time. Many spaces offer a lot of networking opportunities and events that can take your focus away from your project if you let it. So be honest about just how good you are at managing your time. Number three, do you play well with others? These spaces are all about sharing, so if you don't like helping out here and there, you may do better in another working environment. Number four, it just won't work for some companies. Co-working spaces are just not going to work for some companies that require privacy and dedicated space. There are many businesses, legal and health businesses come straight to mind, that have legitimate reasons for wanting information to be secure. They might not be comfortable in an environment where people are looking and listening for opportunities. Number five, there's not much space to put your stuff. There really isn't a lot of storage space for files, PCs, and other stuff you may need for your business. Some spaces may offer lockers, but that's not always enough. Number six, clients may not be impressed. If you want to bring clients to where you work, they might get mixed signals from an office with no dress code. People come and go dressed as they please, which can make the space seem more like a public library, something that some clients may not be comfortable with. Number seven, the seat may be too hot to handle. Many co-working spaces don't allow you to reserve seats, so you may be moving around a lot when working in these spaces. Can you handle being in a new seat every day? Some spaces will allow you to reserve a seat, but it'll cost you extra. And number eight, sharing space with competitors. Coworking attracts a lot of people working in the same space. So if you're not comfortable with potential rivals being in the same room at the same time, then maybe it just won't work for you. Now for the upside. Here are some of the benefits of coworking. Number one, networking, networking, networking. If the force within you is strong and you can network effortlessly, you may well thrive in a co-working space. There can be dozens of interesting projects happening and fantastic conversations going on at the water cooler. And some spaces have community organizers whose job is to introduce members who may be able to help one another out. Number two, the opportunity to hang out with potential employees and clients. Co-working spaces are never short on stories about the connections made in their facilities that lead to job and business opportunities. Number three, save some time. Time is really precious as we strive for a work-life balance. And if you're struggling with a business issue, there's a lot of time to be saved when the person sitting next to you just may have the answer. Number four, access to professional meeting places. With co-working spaces, you often get access to professional meeting rooms, a comfortable place for meeting clients. And number five, continuing education. Many co-working spaces organize regular events and seminars that are of interest to members. In Good Company, for example, provides monthly talks with successful female entrepreneurs, classes on case study growth strategies, and expert panels. What about the costs of co-working? Co-working facilities come in all sorts of flavors. Cooperatively managed spaces run by nonprofit organizations, for instance, may charge just what it takes for them to stay in business. Other spaces charge flat rate membership or fees for a single visit or a certain number of days, weeks, months, or a year. So shop around when looking at co-working sites. Costs can vary widely depending upon your location and what access you are after. Monthly memberships can range from $50 to $450 or more based on the city, amenities, and building. The charges usually cover a desk and Wi-Fi. There may be additional charges, however, for unlimited coffee, a locker, or office keys for 24/7 access. Now let's discuss how to find a space that may work for you. Co-working's real value is in the relationships it makes possible, even over the other resources it provides. So when looking, keep in mind the associations you are looking to develop. Here are some other key considerations. Number one, find your niche. Co-working spaces are opening up to serve just about every niche you can think of. The Metropolitan Exchange in Brooklyn focuses on architects, urban planners, and industrial designers. Green Spaces is a hub for green and socially aware individuals looking for Denver co-working spaces. And New York City's In Good Company specializes in serving female entrepreneurs. So take some time and look for a co-working space that is a good fit for your business and business philosophy. Number two, places to meet. Every business has times when they need privacy, so make sure the facility offers meeting rooms or a boardroom for when you need them. Number three, is it up to speed? Make sure to check out the office facilities, including Wi-Fi speeds, access to a printer, and enough power outlets to charge your stuff. Or maybe there is some other piece of equipment, possibly even a fax, that you need. And don't forget to check out the seating. Furniture may look cool, but your back may not appreciate the beauty after an 8-hour day. Number four, snacks and refreshments. Investigate the kitchen facilities. Do they work for you? And what kind of drinks and snacks are available? Number five, convenient opening hours. Many co-working facilities started life keeping business hours, but 24/7 access is becoming common as flexible working hours become more important. Make sure the space you are considering has open hours that work with your schedule. Number six, could you work there? Noise can be the enemy of productivity. Spend some time walking around the space to get a sense of how noisy it gets. Maybe pick up some noise-reducing headphones, just in case. Number seven, can you get there easily? Many coworkers like to be able to walk or use public transportation to get to work. If it's important to be able to get to work without taking an enormous trek, ensure the location is convenient for you. Number eight, how does it feel? When you walk in the door, what impression are you getting? Do you like the space, lighting, vibe, and temperature? Will you be comfortable working in this space? You may be spending many hours there. And number nine, can you afford it? As mentioned, co-working fees can vary widely. Verify that the place you're looking at fits within your budget. Co-working promises a new working environment based around community and synergy. People who are driven, flexible, and sociable may really enjoy working in these spaces. And if it will work for you, this can be a very affordable option. As with most things, though, this environment will not work for everyone. People who are introverted or just want to get on with their jobs may find this open environment a little uncomfortable. And many businesses will need more privacy than many of these spaces can offer. Ultimately, choice is good, and many companies and individuals will thrive in these spaces. And that can only be a good thing for every community.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on co-working. As always, keep on the lookout for future podcasts, each podcast designed to help your organization succeed. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.